It is Thursday, the 25th of July, and this is episode 175 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I'm Chris, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, I'm Ian.
To the point, should we get on with the news? That's it, done. If you want to find out more about us, porn, Ian, porn.
What is it good for?
Well, apparently absolutely nothing, according to the Prime Minister, who is... I should just say hello, by the way. I haven't really... How are you? You all right?
I just thought you were obsessed with porn and you wanted to get straight in there.
Yeah, straight
it's
in
your favourite topic.
It's been everyone's favourite topic this week, hasn't it? Oh, gosh. You know, we talked last week about this announcement that the Prime Minister was going to make, and we showed you, well, we talked through last week how sloppy and flimsy the foundation of this statement was being made upon. But nevertheless, he went ahead and made the statement and pretty much said, porn be gone. Everyone will be opted into a new system unless they specifically opt out to block all bad things in the world and make everyone happy and bunnies jump around in everyone's living room.
And as you said, we covered it last week, and there was these four main tenants and they've went and announced it, and all the big ISPs are basically saying, well, yeah, I guess we are going to support it in some way, shape or form, but it's...
we're going to support it with something we don't really know what with. We haven't got the technology. We can't do it, but we're going to say we can because, well, we'll just keep them happy.
And I guess the headlines were all about online pornography, but the definition of that is just nowhere. You know, so what does that mean?
No, exactly. And no one can actually define it. And you know, there's lots of different areas to this, so we should probably try and keep it in. You know, let's start with these family-friendly filters, shall we, that are now going to be default on unless you ask for them to be off, right?
Yes, but the family-friendly filters, which was confirmed by Claire Perry, who is the advisor on the sexualization and commercialization of childhood, she confirmed it wasn't just porn. It was like, you know, and I guess some sites that you definitely, you know, wouldn't want your kids to see, you know, so, you know... ones that are promoting violence or ones that are promoting, you know, anorexia, etc. But then that whole term, she just said violence. It's like, well, what does that mean? Are you going to start to then say, well, Grand Theft Auto 5 promotes violence, hence it's blocked?
Yeah, so block everything like that straight
and
up.
A site that sells Grand Theft Auto 5 is blocked.
It must be violent content, yeah.
A Games Magazine that reports on it is blocked.
And what about violent films, review sites, you know, all these things that I guess common sense is going to come into it, but who's going to make those decisions? That's the thing.
And what
is this special software that they keep talking, or this technology they're talking about? I don't think it exists. I just don't think it exists. So they're trying to sell something as a solution that doesn't exist.
So one of the, I think it's TalkTalk is trailing it just now, is trailing this kind of, you know, content blocking. But we've seen, and I guess it's all kind of bubbled up this week. So years ago, there was a technology called CleanFeed, which I think was developed by BT, and it was all about trying to stop child porn and abuse images, and they were using this clean feed technology.
And then it got super, didn't it get usurped, or the court said, right, use that same technology to block IP infringement and stuff like that?
Yes. And this is a danger about this, you know, the headlines all this week have just been about online pornography, but there's obviously a lot more that's going to get blocked by this.
I mean, they were saying ridiculous things like, well, no, you know, all these child abuse cases we've had recently, well, all the people involved, well, they downloaded child pornography, so this is going to stop all that. Yeah. And you think, well, it's not, because they're just going to opt out.
And the thing was, they've been trying to portray that all these images are out there and dead easy to find, but a lot of companies are doing a lot of work to take images like this off the internet.
I think I said this last week, it's not like you go around the internet and are presented with nastiness, you know, anywhere really.
No.
So, you know, yeah. But they're also talking about banning specific search terms from returning search results. And again, what the hell are these terms going to be? And how, again, do you define? So, you know, if you're searching for rape, is it because you're a victim of rape? If you're searching for anorexia and all those kind of things, is it because you're suffering from it and you want to find some answers? So how do you find these search terms that are apparently so horrific? It's hard to judge, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's obviously some terms that you kind of think, well, okay, you do want to block those ones, but it's the grey area ones. And it's like we talked earlier on about...
I think most terms in the human language have pretty much grey areas because there's two sides to every...
Absolutely. Remember when Google brought out that... I'm trying to remember what it was called. Remember when you started typing in the search and it starts presenting results?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called now, but they had to stop some of those, didn't they, because of defamatory statements.
But my surname just stops it working. My surname's Dick. And and basically Google stop all swear words or dodgy words in it. So if you've got a surname like Dick, it just stops working. And they deem that as bad because it's
Have
not...
you been Googling yourself again?
Yeah, constantly. Well, I have to say that because if I said I've been Googling for Dick all the time, it just sounds wrong. So yeah, I was looking for me. Thanks very much. But this whole thing, it's not intelligent enough to know any different. And certainly something that the government's saying, we've not got the technology around it, but by the end of this year, we'll have it in place.
Yeah, so the government and the government's answers to these kind of questions of, look, this technology doesn't exist. They say, well, they better get some clever minds onto it then, and that clever minds doesn't necessarily solve a problem that's unsolvable.
Worst bit, this is going to get voted through because Labour are all for it as well. They were all for it when they were in power.
It makes these fantastic headlines. But what I have to say is that my Twitter feed came alive with people just saying this is just ridiculous, picking holes left, right, centre, up, down, everywhere about what this means. And even traditional conservatives saying this is not what conservatism is.
No,
conservatism is not getting involved in all these things and poking.
Sure when Labour had suggested something very similar, the Tories were up in arms and saying it's all about choice. It's all about, we shouldn't be, nanny state shouldn't be kicking in. But for whatever reason, now, whether it's Daily Mail, whether it's electioneering, we covered it last week, this is just pure electioneering. I've got a page in the show notes and I'm pretty sure it's not doctored because on the day that I looked at the Daily Mail and my eyes did burn for actually launching the website, but they had the headline.
Your soul was certainly did.
Yeah, net porn blocking every home, victory for the male, because they saw that as this, they saw it as their campaign, and it was an opt-in rule for all web users. But the article's down the side of the page. It was like just horrific. It was basically all scantily clad, women, or talking about how good 16-year-old, Chloe Moretz looks, and you're like, what are you doing? So by rights, the Daily Mail should get banned by this. YouTube will get banned because
the internet and it's verging on pornographic. So yeah.
Yep. And I don't know if you've ever used, I think a lot of the mobile providers do this kind of filtering. So O2 at one point, I think just switched it on, and Flickr, the whole of Flickr basically got blocked for me. And I had to prove I was 18 to access Flickr because there was a small bit of adult content on it. But interestingly, YouTube wasn't. So I don't know, and it's back to this, who makes a choice and who makes a choice on these filters?
Yeah, because it's not just pornography. They're going to be blocking other things, suicide websites, pro-anorexia violence websites. But like you say, what does violence mean? there's talk of them, they're going to start treating the internet content just like, 15, 18 certificate type thing.
But how is the regulators going to... Labour talked about it as well. They wanted to start putting age ratings on websites. And it's like, how are you going to do it? It's just... I'm not saying that just means everything should be unregulated, but it's almost impossible to do.
Yeah, and exactly that, say YouTube content varies from, extremely mild to extremely, extremely dodgy, doesn't it? Everywhere in between.
And if they started doing it at whole site levels, because I did see some articles starting to talk about, well, if there's a lot of porn content on Tumblr, then we'll just have to class all of Tumblr as adult. It's like, well, you're going to have to class Google as adult then because it indexes it all. Mm. I think the problem as well, the politicians do not understand the technology. They do not understand how it works. They've got they've been caught up in headlines, they've been caught up in pressure groups, they've been caught up in electioneering and going out and saying, what makes a difference to you? Oh, we need to do something about this. Online porn's terrible. And that's why we're getting the headlines we've got, and that's why we've got the legislation we've got.
And it's going to get voted through, because how can you, with the headlines they've got now, which is, you know, stop online child abuse and all those kind of things, you're not going to have anyone stand up in government and say, I don't want this. No. So it's going to get voted through, even though what they're voting through doesn't mean what they think it does.
No, and I think the fear, we've covered it already, was that clean feed technology, but also I'm sure it was Australia had introduced filtering as well, and it was found out after 2 or 3 years that it wasn't just porn, but they were actually the government that was in power at the time had used it to block opposition websites as well. Yep. And this is who controls it? How do you make it clean and open and honest? And also, it's not going to stop. See, they're talking about this is going to stop, you know, people, you know, downloading child porn. It's not.
They've opt out. That's the whole. It's just.
But also, if you opt out, does that mean your name's on the list? Does that mean you know? So if there's just say everybody's opting by default, and 30% of the population saying no, actually I'm opting out. Are they automatically?
I think it might be more than 30%.
Or whatever.
Well, I know what you mean. Yeah, and when you are logged in, and
are you then labelled?
Yeah, and how is it blocking? You know, is it logging you against all these other sites that, you know, when you're visiting YouTube, does it log that you've accessed YouTube and what you've watched? Who knows? And that, who knows, because it doesn't exist. It's just, you know.
It makes a mockery of the kind of Western governments who used to look at China and say, look, they're not free. You know, the Great Firewall of China they used to talk about, and they talked about how a lot of Middle Eastern countries, it's all filtered. We are just exactly the same, if not worse.
It's just the same thing by a different angle.
Yep.
You know, so now we're having pornography involving rape depicting rape is going to be banned as well, which kind of brings the UK England in line with Scotland. But again, I was just thinking around that, you know, what happens to films, and what about soap operas that, you know, have heavy hitting storylines, like, you know, down that line? Are they affected? There must be workarounds for those kind of things.
The thing is that the research that was put out at the start of the week said that those that are, you know, dealing with child porn, they're doing it via peer-to-peer. They're not doing it on the open internet. It's not, you know, it's not accessible via search engines. It's all just that, you know, it's a wrong solution for the wrong problem.
And to be honest, it's just a way of getting filtering in by the side door, and it will then be used for more and more. And that, again, that's another thing that people are really concerned about, is the fact that this is just a slippery slope, as we've talked about many times before.
But well done, Margot James, who ain't got a tweet of the day. All households soon to be barred from online child abuse images and rape porn, unless they actively opt in. Thanks for that.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it means.
Yeah. Well done, Margot. And she did delete the tweet later on and put up another one. I'm surprised she didn't say she was hacked, because that just seems to be the favorite.
So what's that story then? So someone, whose site got hacked?
So Claire Perry. So we mentioned her earlier, but who has that fantastic title? I'm trying to find it again. The advisor on the sexualization and commercialization of childhood. So she's been promoting all this, and she was very much on all the kind of TV programs on Monday. And Order, you know, the website. Yeah? Guido Fox. You've never heard of Guido Fox? Oh, come on. And anyway, somebody hacked her website and put links to porn images on her website.
That's quite funny. So she needs to be banned.
Yep. So so the political blogger, Paul Staines, he put on his website, oh dear, somebody's hacked the website, that's a shame, and put a picture to it. Now, obviously, you'd think that, you know, because she's done so much research on this, she's behind a lot of these laws, you'd think she'd know her stuff. Instead, she blamed him.
Right, because he linked to it
and put a picture up.
Oh dear.
But the best bit was... that well-known responsible campaigner at Guido Fox has been hosting a link that distributes porn via my website. No, he wasn't. The blogger responded to say the site did not link to the images and story, but instead showed a screen grab of the non-pornographic segment of the hacked page. And all he said was, confused by technology again, Claire Perry. we deliberately didn't link to your filthy website, just took a safe for work screenshot. But then she went on to tweet, apologies to anybody affected by the hacking of my website, sponsored by Guido Fox. Proves so clearly what we're dealing with. She then tweeted, suggest you take the link down immediately, Paul, and go and get a life. She then tweeted, "I'll be speaking to the Sun on Sunday about the type of people they employ." So Guy the Fox, making good capital out of it, said, "What do you think readers will sue her?" And by lunchtime the next day, the vote was in. It was 80% were to sue her. She never got in touch, so he's instructed lawyers and she's being sued.
There you go.
And because she has publicly said he did it and he had nothing to do with it. All he did was report a story. But that's the level of our government. They do not
understand. Sometimes I just think that, like you say, this Daily Mail generation of middle England who keep saying how offended they are by all these things, how offensive everything is in the world. Sometimes I wish they'd get their wish and live in the world that they're trying to portray, because they wouldn't like it. They wouldn't want to be there.
And the thing is, Daily Mail gets all its traffic from all the stories that people say, oh, it should be banned and should be removed, so remove it. I bet you if you could press a button and remove all that content that is dubious on their site, people would drift off elsewhere.
Their site's are just as horrible as all the other newspapers that is, just because they put outraged by in front of the headline doesn't, look how this child looks so young in these clothes. Isn't this despicable? Whereas also, it's the same as a site showing the pictures saying, look at this child.
I think the most, the bit that annoyed me the most on Monday when Cameron was asked, I guess that means you're supporting the ban on page 3. He went, no, I don't. I don't. People pay and make a choice. And it was like, what?
Right.
What? Yeah. It's incredible. The hypocrisy is absolutely incredible. Anyway.
Can we move on?
Oh, I could rant all night about it. It's just really disappointing. I just.
But what it does show, say, from last week, we showed how flimsy the foundations of this announcement. And for as much as they've come out real bullshy and, upfront and real kind of, we are going to do this, this and this. It just shows that there is no foundation to that other than they want to make headlines. They've made those headlines. They've pissed off a lot of people. They've said their piece. And as it said, and even in the documentation, the letter leaked last week, it doesn't mean anything's going to be different.
Initially, I was quite pleased because I have no interest in the royal baby, but it did kind of shuffle the headline down, two or three pegs and all this stuff.
But it certainly didn't. Then bury it like they probably wanted it to be buried.
But also at the same time, I was the other bit of me is disappointed that there wasn't really a true debate around it. Everybody was briefed before, and even the BBC. I mean, they're just putting up puff pieces. It was like, come on,
I thought it got a wider attraction than I thought it would actually. To be honest,
it's electioneering. Everybody was briefed, because the papers that all came out on Monday had the story and it had it all in detail, so it was all briefed. And as I said earlier, Labour are supporting it as well, so it doesn't really matter what it is. In fact, Labour turned around and said it doesn't go far enough.
How can they say anything other than we support a ban on child abuse?
And that's
like I said, you're not going to have anyone stand up and say they're not with it. But the problem is that what they're actually saying is not what they think they're saying. Anyway, Google have been pouting their wares. They've been new Nexus 7, basically new tablet. Little bit thinner and a little bit lighter than their previous version, and they got the nice high res panel in it now. So whereas before they were on sort of 1280x800, now they're on 920x1200, so full HD. Dual speakers as well, quite good idea. A bump in processor power and memory. We've got a front and back facing camera now, and it's running the latest Jelly Bean.
What is there not to like?
Yeah, and price has crept up a bit, but it's still ridiculously low. I mean, if we're talking dollars, $229 is the cheapest model, going up to $349.
And we've got a UK price as well now, so £200 for the 16 gig and $240 for 32. It's a 30.
Ooh, 40 quid extra. Why wouldn't you?
It's like 32 gig, 1080p tablet, which is...
And if you think that phones cost 600 quid...
Yeah.
If you buy them up for just shows what can be done. And it's say the latest Androids are a good basis for a device. So
and it's interesting.
They're getting there.
I mean, I picked one up last year, and that was my kind of, that seemed the ideal price point to get me interested and get my Android device. There's lots of people been talking recently about how sluggish it gets. And it does get sluggish.
Mm.
And I've tried a few of these cleaners now, like cache cleaners and memory.
It's annoying that you have to, though, isn't it?
But they only make a really short-term difference. There's something there's something slightly whiffy at a fundamental level about that one. I don't know what it is, because initially it was great. Initially it was so speedy fast, but even now if I just reach over and fire it up, and I can log in, and it kind of spins around and does everything. But you see, if I fired up Chrome, it just kind of sits and does nothing.
No, I think.
And it's,
yeah,
and it's like, what's the pause? And then it kicks in and it starts to log up.
I wonder though whether, say, this new version of Jelly Bean take care of some of that. They tend to take care of things as you go along. It's almost one of those things you buy in at a point, and that's unfortunately where you stick at. But never if you do upgrade your device, generally speaking, you get a better experience for it.
Nobody really knows why, and the problem is a lot of the articles on the web just get polluted with, oh, my iPad 1 does the same, and oh, my iPad 3 does it, and it's like,
yep,
calm your nuts. There's some speculation that it's cheaper flash that they've been using, and it's not.
That's now tiring itself out.
Yeah.
X number of uses and all that business.
Yes.
And say, mobile devices in general do... they swap in and out of memory probably quicker because they don't have so much of it. And with all the app switching and stuff, it's moving things in and out.
So, and just one more thing, or two more things. So it looks like it's mid-September. We get this in the UK. And
not long.
Battery life, they're still saying, is 9 hours of HD video playback and 10 hours of web browsing. So still...
So does 9 hours, that's nearly the full trilogy.
but from a tablet... I mean, a tablet costing £200-250 is excellent.
It's a nice cheap way in, especially for buying for your younger members of your household, which want an iPad, but you can't really afford to buy them one. Yeah, that's good stuff. So they have talked also about what's involved in the new Android. They're also rolling that out to their phones as well, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's coming out to all Nexus devices, and I think Sony announced today their kind of rollout program for it as well.
Well, that's a quicker announcement by them then. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I still think it was an announcement of intent rather than it starting today kind of thing. So I think it's a series of kind of rollouts.
So it's going to have different profiles. So you can actually have a number of different profiles on device and have restricted profiles. So you can let your kid have... a restricted profile, so they can get access to some of the apps, but not all of them. Good idea.
Yep.
They're going to have low energy Bluetooth, Bluetooth Smart, so that should save some battery life. They're putting OpenGL ES 3.0 on there, which basically means you're going to have games that look better with shadows and lens flares and other sort of nice effects. That's probably going to move their gaming on quite a lot, I would have thought.
Yes.
Apps can now get into their notifications, so they can actively push notifications. And they've added DRM, whoop-dee-doo, so that companies like Netflix can now feel comfortable putting their content onto the device.
And it is a whoop-dee-doo, but Netflix was always a big kind of miss. So having Netflix on it,
that's what you need.
Yep.
So that's a hardware-based DRM, as far as I'm aware.
And I think the other one that jumped out for me was there was some stuff about transparent overlays and guff like that.
But, where's that come from?
Yeah, exactly. And it was like,
we could do that.
A little bit of the same song about that announcement. But hardware geofencing.
Yes.
So that's becoming, you know, more and more of a kind of desirable feature. I've certainly seen more iOS apps using it for like background syncing. And the battery life isn't getting affected by it.
That's the key to this. It's not using your software services to find out when you're leaving an area. It's actually going by the hardware inside. So, yeah, much lower drain.
Yeah.
And also using Wi-Fi signals without turning on Wi-Fi, you can get location via Wi-Fi, which is, again, clever stuff.
Yep. And they're still calling this Jelly Bean. And also rumours that it might be 5 comes in September or October.
Still an accelerated process.
Yes, but I guess we just need to, and there's lots of rumours that the Nexus 10 will see a refresh in September, and we'll be seeing Android 5.
Bound to. An Android 5?
Yeah.
Phablet. Google's equivalent of Game Center, Google Play Games. We talked about this a while back, probably won't cover it too much now, but basically it's the same as Game Center, but just across the Play Store. Whoop-de-doo. Chromecast, little dongle that Google have produced, which will plug into your TV via HDMI and is powered by USB. And basically, it will let you stream from a device, so your computer or a tablet or phone, and it will stream to your TV. Kind of.
Actually, it doesn't.
It coordinates. Is that the right word?
Yeah, and I didn't realize this when the announcement came out yesterday. What it's basically got is it's got Chrome OS on it, and see when you're... And I guess the thing they're doing different from AirPlay and Apple is that their SDK supports iOS and Android. I think it's everything apart from Windows is supported by Google. But basically what you can do is you'll fire up your tablet and you say, yeah, I want to watch this YouTube video. And it kind of sends over the request to go and get the content on the Chromecast. So it's not broadcasting.
It's basically saying site equals YouTube. Video equals video ID. So go play it. So we're up to 30 seconds.
Yep. So your tablet and your phone is acting as a controller, but it's actually the Chromecast. It's going away and grabbing the content. Whereas if you look at AirPlay on the tablets, it's actually broadcasting.
Streaming from it.
Yeah.
Which means that you can turn off your phone or your tablet and the device, Chromecast won't stop playing your YouTube video. It'll carry on. And you can even swap. You can say, I was sat at my PC and now I'm going to go and get my phone and I want to be able to pause it and do the, volume and stuff using my phone now instead. And because it's not the actual device doing any of the streaming, it's possible to do that.
And this thing's $35.
Yeah, it's dead, dead cheap. They're saying it's going to be built into other TVs. And basically, it's device agnostic. So, yeah.
And it's taken, it's almost like it's just taken, there's no need for a smart TV.
It's true, but it's only going to be, at the moment, it's only supporting things like YouTube and Netflix. I think it's certainly, it needs to support things rather than it just being a dummy device that's taking in content. It needs to be intelligent to know where to go and get the content. So it needs to be integrated effectively. Yes. So someone needs to use the SDK to go and actually develop for it.
But you can download like apps to the Mac, for example, from the Chrome store and then say, send this to your Chromecast. You can send any web page, send any web video. And obviously, I think because I've got an SDK, I think you're going to very quickly see people starting to bake this in.
Anything that's this small and cheap and quick and easy, as long as it's easy to plug into a TV. It says it plugs in via HTML powered by USB. Does that mean your TV needs to have a USB port as well to be able to power it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need, and close enough that it can get it. So you're probably talking more recent TVs because old ones probably don't have USB ports. I don't think mine does, for example.
So in some ways it still feels a bit hacky. Mm. It's not the kind of cleanest.
But it's almost like they've releasing this because they also want people to build it in, and by having
absolutely
different ways of attaching it, then great. I mean, something that's $35 is not going to add anything to be a problem. In fact, Google probably give them to manufacturers to put them in their TVs.
It's sold out instantly. And the weird one is that Google TV will have it baked in soon. And they've not called it, it's not, I guess the strange thing I thought was, I thought if anything it would have been Android, it would have been driving these things, but it's not, it's Chrome.
Mm, so the Chrome OS is being the one that's pushing it.
Yes. And at first I was a bit like, what did Google get out of this? And then I was watching another podcast and it says, well, they get to know what everybody's watching. Adverts.
Push YouTube somewhere else as well, onto someone's big TV. Yeah.
But they know instantly what people are watching and they can monetize it. So.
Yes, because even on TV's all got the disconnect, hasn't it? It's based on a sample usership and previous, it's not live figures, it's kind of they compile them, whereas that would be live figures. This is what people are watching right this second.
But I want one.
Yeah,
I want one right now. And for me, this was the biggest thing of this Google breakfast announcement. It wasn't the tablet and wasn't 4.3. It was like, oh, I want one of those.
Did they say they're coming to UK soon?
They just said they were coming out at a later date, so a limited time, and it will come. So what we're talking about, for limited time, it will come with 3 free months of Netflix, and international expansion will be coming as soon as possible.
Mm, so it just depends, I guess, how popular it is and how many they're selling. Having said that, all their Nexus stuff has been over here pretty quick, so maybe it was secret. Microsoft, a bad quarter, according to analysts. I mean, God, they've only made $20 billion.
I know. And I'll be honest here, I deliberately left out all the financials this week because it was Google, There was Microsoft, there was Facebook,
everyone's
and there was Apple.
Making sickening amounts of money.
All making good money. The reason I put this one in is that the Microsoft had to take a $900 million charge on a Surface RT.
Basically, they had so much stock left over that they had to account for it. And that's probably why we've seen dropping of by $150 of the base model, the price of the base model. So, yeah, not gone well. And actually, they're saying that's actually a share impact of 7 cents per share just on that one hit, which is obviously makes a big difference if you're a big shareholder. But nevertheless, you know, we're talking analysts here again, what analysts said they should have been making based on, you know, compared to what they actually did make. And it's little differences, but it's gone mad.
I think it's the end of RT.
I think you might be right.
That's a dead duck.
I think I agree. Apple, they went quiet on us again. Surprise, surprise. Their dev site went down. And they never made an announcement for 3 days, and people were like, where's it gone? I want to get on the dev site. But you couldn't. And then they did come out and said, yeah, we got hacked. So we clamped down, went quiet, tried to find out what had been taken, what had been viewed. They said no sensitive information has been touched because most of it's encrypted, other than your name, address, email, probably telephone number. You know, so pretty much what they meant is your credit card details not gone. Everything else.
Absolutely.
Consider it gone.
I wish they'd come out slightly sooner, because all it was, and I guess it depends on who you follow on Twitter, but it was just lots of speculation about, you know, what is this? Is it an update gone wrong? You know, and they're having to recover from, you know, backup somewhere. And then the longer it went on, more people were like, this feels like a hack. This feels like security. And there was lots of worries about, you know, root certificates and if somebody got the keys to, you know, the Apple Store and all that kind of stuff. Is what's been hacked, what's been taken, you know, what's it going to mean to, you know, thousands and thousands of companies and developers?
Yeah, but pretty much they sort of have said now it's, yeah, it's user data. It's not iTunes users. It is only developer data. But again, obviously those developers will have account details which might give people access to other things. I mean, and that's one of the big things that's come out of this, that the data hasn't sort of surfaced anywhere. No one said, here is the data.
Actually, Apple are calling it a hack. There's a security researcher saying it wasn't a breach and a hack. He was trying to demonstrate to Apple the flaws in their security.
Right, okay.
And this guy says he'd already contacted Apple and were doing nothing about it. And it was all a bit squiffy and weird. And there has been a few developers starting to say, I'm getting loads of, you know, security reset emails coming through. And it's just, but it's whether that's just, I mean, I get, every so often I'll get like my Evernote account. Emails in about 10 minutes. And I guess it's just somebody thinking that I've got, you know, their login's my login.
And of course that happens sometimes. And other times it can be people speculatively trying it. But
absolutely.
You know.
So this guy, the information that he had seemed to tie up. And he put a YouTube video up and it had some developer, you know, account details on it. And it all looked, you know, pucker. And all we've seen, I mean, we're on to now like 7-8 days on, and all we've really got now is a status page from Apple saying, here's where we are.
Yes, they have said that they are now refocusing and they're going to refactor things to give everything a bit more of a secure edge.
But there's basically 15 kind of developer type services that are all down at the moment. Sorry, there's 15 type services and there's only two up, which is iTunes Connect and Bug Reporter. Everything else is down.
So does that mean you can't submit applications? You can't do things like that? I mean,
I believe so.
Yeah. So it is pretty serious. If you've got something, you know, you're waiting on release something and you can't, basically.
And people had concerns about, you know, apps that expire, their yearly accounts, you know, that expire, and Apple had to come out and say, don't worry, nobody's Apple will get taken offline. Your developer account won't expire. But it's a serious state of affairs. It's the biggest store. And obviously it's going to go a bit quiet because, you know, seven days of no access. And it's also no access for developer forums. It's no access of actually updating, you know, bugs and
if your sole business faults. Is developing on the, you know, the App Store, your last 7 days have been interesting, I'm sure.
Even for Apple. I mean, for getting all the feedback, I think, I mean, obviously you can update radars now, but there's been a few days where it was quiet. And and I'm sure they've also, the developer team is very much focused on trying to fix these things. But there's an iOS beta that's out there that needs a lot of attention. So it'll be interesting to see if it actually impacts in any release schedules in any way. You know, it's a week now. Not inconsiderable.
They've been buying stuff, though. Apple have bought HopStop and Locationary. They're all map-based mashups, really. So data layers for maps, transit information, things like that. So again, there clearly is still a hot focus within Apple for all their mapping stuff. I'm sure we'll see those get integrated in very shortly. Shortly on Apple's terms, which is probably another 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. iOS 9. Yeah. They'll take the apps down, but the apps will disappear. That's what I hate about all these companies buying stuff. The app just
they go
offline instantly now.
Yeah, and you just lose all that ground that you gained by that company, and then it's all right. Amazon UK, so they've been chuffing on about deliveries this week. Firstly, they announced that if you're a Prime member, you can now track your packages to within 15 minutes of delivery. So great stuff.
Yes.
Quite compelling. I think I seem to remember Fitbit did this. Or was it Withings? I can't remember. One of them, they gave you a delivery slot to within sort of 10, 15 minutes, and that was just balmy. It's just amazing. So you could follow on your package tracking. And I guess as a Prime member now, they're going to do that for you as well on all your deliveries.
Yeah, so they're using, and it's DPD. So it's DPD is the parcel service that have announced this Follow My Parcel option. And Amazon and a few other retailers have decided to, from August 5th, that they're going to use the service. And it's great. See, when I get a parcel through and I find out it's DPD, a little whoop.
Yeah.
Just makes all the difference, because you get a nice text message. You get a text message the next day. You get a slot.
They tell you driver names and stuff like that as well. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's even just getting a slot. So, you know, it's
Bob
like,
will be with you in your package.
Yeah, but everybody else, like Yodel, will say, you know, it's out today.
on the van.
Yeah. And also, actually, recently Yodel have been just telling me on the day that it's actually out will be the first I know it's coming out.
Yes.
So I'll be at work, and it's like a Tuesday, and I'll get an email from at 11 o'clock. It's out for delivery today. And you're like, you cock. What use is that? Anyway, that's Yodel.
This is going to be a big development. These kind of tracking and tracing services that let people, you know, effectively have them delivered wherever and whenever they want. That's going to be the big thing coming up. And I know that these people are already working on the massive logistics of it. But an offset of this is that they're going to chop out free deliveries or their Super Saver deliveries on anything under £10 that's within certain categories. So books, DVDs, music, videos are not included in this, but any other orders under £10, they ain't doing free delivery anymore.
No. Which for some people, I mean, it's quite a big jump, because if you order, like, the example in the notes is like a memory stick, it only costs a fiver. Some of the deliveries are £4, other ones are £6.
Yeah, I know, it's bonkers. It does make a big difference. But they're obviously trying to encourage you to say slightly bigger deliveries, because they've been also doing the thing where sometimes if you buy a smaller item, you have to buy it with something else before they will actually deliver.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
More and more they've been kind of doing that. And I guess it's just because it costs an awful lot of money for them to keep shipping around all these tiny things that just aren't worth anything. So if you a £1 grommet getting shipped out free, they're just losing money on it, aren't they? So
grommet. Instantly, I think a Wallace and Gromit, and it's not the actual grommet. But Acme, you've been grommet. An engineer now. You've been an actual mechanic. although I saw a little workaround to still get like kind of free delivery. Just find one of the CDs that's getting sold for 49p and add it in.
Yeah, so there you go. But you're getting tons of... Yay, that's save resources.
Well, have you seen... You must have had it that you've ordered something tiny and it comes in a massive box.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're not always careful.
No,
not always. And to be honest, it's just making... I guess this is the whole point as well, making Prime more and more and more attractive. It's still quite a lot of big cash if you're...
50 quid.
But for... And you can share it with a family member as well, can't you? So you can, it's actually 25 quid if you want to share it.
Are you signed up?
I'm not, which is silly because this year I've definitely had enough things that it would have been worthwhile. I mean, for Amazon, it's great because it locks people in, and that's why they want people to go to it, because it, you know, means that everyone goes to Amazon. But, and why wouldn't you? I mean, at the moment, it's the department store, isn't it? It's got everything in it. And because it's got the marketplace now as well, which has actually turned, I'm pretty confident shopping on Amazon Marketplace. I've never had a problem with it.
And I'm the same. I signed up after, it was last Christmas. I took advantage of the 3 month because I knew I was going to order loads from it. And yep. I thought, this is a no-brainer.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
And I've kept it going and I will renew this year because...
Yeah, it just ties you in. So it's good for them. And that's one of the reasons they're getting rid of these free deliveries as well.
Yeah, and it's good for me because I'll sit at work and think, I need this tomorrow.
Bump. I need that in my life tomorrow. I want that Bible Strands on CD. Yeah, I need it now.
That's the kind of cock comment I knew was going to come back to bite me. But it is like I will log on, search, check the box to say show me Prime only. I'll buy from you.
It's too easy, isn't it? Though it's just too bloody easy.
Yep.
That's what frightens me. That I can, you know, you can just sit there in the evening, get bored, and go, oh, whoops! I just spent an awful lot of money. Never mind.
Order this in the next 5 hours to get it tomorrow. Oh, thank you very much.
Nightmare.
Xbox One.
Oh yeah, okay, I missed the skipped one.
it is a nightmare.
Yeah, if you're an independent developer, you will be able to publish direct to the Xbox One marketplace. This is a change from their previous policy. So on Xbox 360, you had to go through one of the big developers basically to get onto the marketplace, the arcade marketplace, and that kind of scuppered a lot of small developers because they didn't want to go and get those or couldn't get one of those deals. And basically, Sony kind of got a couple of independent games there that actually were really critically acclaimed games. And Microsoft missed out on that. And I think they've seen that they missed out. So they are now changing their policy.
Yeah, another policy change. Maybe yes,
we moan at policy change, but if it's for the right direction, which all these policy changes are, it's good, right?
I'm expecting by November I won't be able to buy an Xbox One. I'll be buying because it'll be called something else.
Yeah, we changed the name because it's got two bad associations with it.
Yep. Middle of next year I'll be able to buy an Xbox One without a Kinect, you know, like I want to do right now. Yeah. You just know it's going to happen. But this is a good step. And even, I mean, that's two kind of independent things that they've done. The first was they were charging, you know, $25,000 for patches and stuff like that. And that's why we never saw a patch for Fez. And the developer of Fez, when he announced Fez 2, he says, I can guarantee you the one platform won't come out for, Xbox One. And it's just reason. Because you get burnt and so many other independents, you know, are the same. So this is really good. And it's also, it's actually every console. So you will be able to kind of, you know, when you buy an Xbox One, you will be able to start, you know, uploading from there. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this and what they're going to do as a developer and how does it. I think the issue I saw through the week, and they're still saying discoverability. You know, so I think the arcade store, your title just gets lost in amongst it. Xbox used to be really good about the independent stuff.
Yes, they used to push all the. They even had independent weeks, didn't they, where they pushed all the independent content. They had sort of games
and stuff. And it just kind of got lost. It was like. And amongst
a lot of stuff gets lost on that dashboard at the moment. So, yeah. Talking about Kinect, I just watched a video in the week, sort of an. I didn't. It's certainly not a video I'd watched before, about Lumiroom. And I know it's still a sort of concept at the moment. This was the kind of concept that the Kinect would scan your room and then you'd have a projector that projected wider than your TV, so out into your room. And I just watched an update on that and the kind of technology that they're talking about and how it adapts to the 3D-ness of your room. So it can even, you know, can actually make the effect of having snow falling in your room and things like that to just trick your eyes. So as you're running around a scene, they can actually have snow that moves, or if you're driving and it's raining, they can actually have rain that's coming down in your living room and give the impression of this kind of 3D effect and how they can use, you know, if things are falling in this kind of 3D world, it can bounce it off the top of your TV and things like that. So they just know the depth of stuff. So it was an interesting update. I can't remember where I found the video now. It would have been on some gaming website, but it was a really interesting update to the technology and how they really see it working and their sort of prototypes that are working currently. It's worth digging out. They talked about the different ways they can use this technology. So
if you it looks so impressive. See, when I saw the video, it was like, that is something I'd want to really try.
And okay, it's only a concept video and a concept,
concept.
It did feel immersive, but it was just you talking about not having the Kinect sensor, and I was thinking, but actually what you can do with the Kinect sensor is quite interesting.
Yes.
Nightmare. Where's this happens, like deja vu nightmare. Children's TV show, which we all grew up with if you're allowed to watch ITV in your household, which we weren't.
Oh no.
I didn't get to watch Trapdoor either. I had to watch BBC and Blue Peter.
Oh.
I know. Didn't get what Fraggle Rock, we missed out on all that.
Terrahawks?
Never watched it.
Oh no.
Because I know what Nightmare is because it looks so cool. And basically, because it was kids walking around a virtual dungeon, wasn't it? Basically, well ahead of its time. Yeah, basically walking into these empty rooms, and they had a VR headset on, didn't they? And basically, other kids shouting, "Go left, go right." And
that was class.
As computer, I mean, if you look back at it, it was pretty rubbishy, really. But but it was kind of it's all role playing kind of type thing. So it was Dungeons and Dragons, and it was knights, and all those kind of archetypes, weren't they?
Yeah,
they're bringing it back. One episode,
fantastic.
During YouTube Geek Week.
Yeah, I didn't like the title. YouTube Geek Week is basically like, yeah, folk like you're going to watch this, and it's like, yeah, okay. Thanks for that. Thanks for the label.
Geek's the new chic.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't feel chic.
It's all right. It's all right to be a geek.
I don't feel chic.
Geeks rule the world now.
Do they?
They earn a lot of money.
Really?
And that generally means you rule the world.
But anyway, we're going to see an episode of Nightmare, amongst many other things that week.
Yeah, but that's pretty much the UK highlight. The rest are probably pretty US centric. But they got some actors coming on to come and do it, and Crichton's going to be announcing the next videos and things. Exciting. The end of the podcast. Any picks?
Do you know, I actually have a kind of couple brewing, but I just want to dabble a bit longer.
Let them fester a bit more, ready to explode out.
Oh dear.
Yes, and my pick would be go and find that Lumaroon video. I don't know, go and search YouTube, it's bound to be on there somewhere.
Well, that's helpful.
Just use the internet. And as long as it's not banned.
Go and search for a video that may or may not be the one that I watched.
Just go watch videos. Find out more about us and what we do, digitaloutbox.com. Email us if you want to talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype as well, if you want to use those, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter, CheesyUK. You can find out my racing stuff, a couple of weeks till my next one. AcademyRacer.co.uk. Ian.
Twitter is Sweeper, blog is eand.net.
All I was going to do is say you should go watch 4OD as well as watching Illumiroom. Go search for Caterham Races and watch me.
I watched you last week. I watched you last week in the critical commentator. I took too much speed into that corner.
Hutchinson with too much speed, runs wide.
And you know, I've got a bugbear. I was trying to overtake round the outside. None of that losing a place. I was trying to gain a place. Bastard.
I actually don't think he liked you because even, and it's Chris Hutchinson still in the lead, but only by 1 point. like you're buggered.
Yeah, you're screwed now.
So, on the blog, I might actually do over the weekend, a little write up of. I've got an Olo clip for the iPhone, and it's very nice. Nice little addition. So, I might put up some little pics and some, and why I really liked Olo clip. Maybe that should have been my pick. There you go. Maybe it still will be.
Maybe it will. There was a good Kickstarter or something. Oh God, I shouldn't start conversations like this when I don't have the details. It was something tile.
It's never stopped you before.
Yeah. And these little tiles, it's a great concept, which is, so it's a Kickstarter type project. And basically it's like a little key ring, basically. And all it is, it's got a sort of transmitter in that key ring. And you're supposed to attach it to your keys or whatever. So you basically,
it was just called the tile.
It's just called the tile, was it?
Yeah.
And so you can use your phone to sort of as a sensor to then go around your house to find it. You can tell the tile to emit a sound, so you can do it by sound. And also they were talking about crowdsourcing. So if something gets nicked that's got a tile attached to it, then they can crowdsource and see whether they can identify and locate where your device or item is.
Yes. So if you want one tile, it's $24, $25.
There you go.
Three tiles is $75 plus one bonus tile. So I guess you could maybe chip in with friends and save some cash.
Get lots of tiles. I actually partook in a kind of Kickstarter type thing. I can't even remember what the company is, but Sun God was my customizable sunglasses. $25 for lifetime guaranteed sunglasses, and you can customize them to any color you want. And because they came in yellow with the yellow lenses, I went for it. I'm not obsessed, honest. That's the end of the podcast anyway. Speak to you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Gotta be yellow.
I'm just glad it wasn't me. It just rambled on like a fool.
You could cut all that out.
No.
I just want to let you suffer. No one will get that far anyway. It's a long one. I've tuned out far in ahead. Be lucky if they got through the porn.